can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
It's working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Welcome inside the frozen tundra of the Boomerang Geo Program. Post-game.
What's up, Al?
Yeah, they keep it cold in here, Gary. That was the thing they always said about the Letterman show. Sometimes guests would come out and they'd reference how freezing cold it was. And Letterman had this theory that you have to have the audience freezing or they'll not pay attention.
I call BS on that theory.
Yeah, me too.
As someone that worked...
See, you're yawning in here. It's 3 degrees.
Oof, that was not on purpose. As someone that worked overnights, Joe B. used to keep the studio cold, too.
Yeah.
And I worked with him, and when you're tired, you're tired. Is it shocking when you first walk in?
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
This is like you hear people doing the cold plunge now.
Yes.
It's like this. I just walk in here, and it feels like a cold plunge. And I could take on the day after that, Jerry, after the cold plunge.
I understand.
So I posted this video this morning. I actually saw this video in over the summer, and it really bugged me, this video. It was a video of adults in the entertainment field sexualizing a young Justin Bieber. And it's very uncomfortable if you watch it. And there's a lot of people in it. In it. There's Pink, James Corden, David Letterman. Just really bizarre behavior to oh, you have such beautiful lips.
Let me see that your lips.
James Corden was being very bizarre.
That's weird.
Yeah, very strange. You smell so nice. May I smell? You smell so beautiful.
You may not, Al.
And then Letterman was just really mean to the guy. Twisted his arm. Like, it's weird. It's very weird. And it's in the video, it's also an adult Justin Bieber breaking down and crying to this interviewer about how he hopes Billie Eilish and others are not being treated the way he was treated. And it is just bizarre.
Hmm.
Very just strange. Very strange behavior. I mean, I hope we actually get some information out of this Diddy stuff and we find out who's involved in this.
Where did all of this come from? I feel like this just like burst onto the scene in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I guess they had been watching him because the FBI arrested him.
Okay.
On sex trafficking and all this stuff. So very serious charges.
God almighty, man.
So, and as we learned from when Craig was arrested by the FBI, when the FBI come for you, they're prepared. Like, they don't send 15 people to arrest you.
Unless they can back
on
it
a whim.
Up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it'd be very interesting to see what happens.
Given that, you would think he's never getting out of prison.
Yeah.
You would
That's
think.
What it seems like.
You know, I
but
could
there,
be wrong.
There are some weird, and I know sometimes once you get to social media, you'll start to hear things that may or may not be true. There was a thing in there about Odell Beckham Jr. and Justin Bieber. There's things in there about Obama prior to being president and these Diddy parties. There's a real, and then all these videos are now surfacing from past interviews that people are now like, look at this now.
Right, so there's a couple of things there. One, a lot of it very well could be connected. I don't know. I do think, too, though, some stuff could just look bad, and given the circumstances now, it plays into it. I mean, that's certainly very possible. I mean, there are certainly plenty of instances here where some people have grabbed us and hugged us and twisted our nipples and did things that... I'm just saying, and in the moment, it's really nothing. But if something then came out, even though one had nothing to do with the other, be like, see, look what was going on here. So I'm sure the truth is probably somewhere in between, and some of those people probably did do stupid things or bad things, and others were probably very innocent, still shouldn't have been done, but it ain't good.
There's an interesting video going around with with John Legend and his wife, Chrissy Teigen.
Okay.
Who are like, tell you how to live your life the past couple of years. We're very busy telling everybody what's wrong with the way people are behaving. And meanwhile, their behavior. So there's a video of them. They're younger. And it was like it's not Entertainment Tonight, but a show like that.
Okay.
And the guy goes, hey, where's the most public where's the coolest public place you had sex? And she goes, oh, I don't know if I should say. She goes, that Obama party. And John Legend looks like, I can't believe you're telling this guy. And she's like, oh, no, it was before he was president.
Huh.
And it's just like all these things are coming out. And what's really weird is I posted the video today of the Justin Bieber stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
I didn't see it. Okay.
Even you can't take it out of context. It's adults that are famous sexualizing Justin Bieber when he's 15, 16 years old. There's no taking it out of context. But even that, like I posted that, people are coming at me about Trump stuff. I'm like, dude, this
one,
isn't
one has nothing to do with the other.
About Trump or Kamala or Republican. If you're defending this Justin Bieber video, this collage of weird adults with Justin Bieber, that's
right, and you
that's
said Letterman's in it. You love Letterman.
Yeah, Letterman's in it. It's very bizarre.
Hmm.
It's just strange.
What's interesting about the Chrissy Teigen John Legend thing? Now, how long ago was this video?
They look younger. So
think about that. So a video that was probably done years ago, or someone shot that years ago.
It looks 8 to 10 years ago.
All of a sudden, surfaces now. I mean, if you're saying it was 2014 or 15, you wonder if they actually think about that this week prior to it coming out, or if they even don't remember
it. Probably don't even remember it.
It's like, wait, what, you said what to when to who? Huh?
Yeah.
It is. It's crazy. With these phones, man, you feel like everything's... Even like that Jerry Jones thing you guys played this morning. You think he knew he was being recorded at that time? And I'm not saying what he said was right or wrong. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it even meant or what he was doing.
I think he was just joking. Like, so
I do too, but I don't know.
So it was a live stream of Jamie Foxx.
I guess that's what it is.
Jamie Foxx was live streaming at Dallas practice, and Jerry Jones was over his shoulder not knowing he was being recorded, and he was... Jerry Jones was going over stats of a player. He goes, oh, he's got a 7-inch hand, his wingspan.
4-1 speed, yeah.
Yeah, he's going over all statistics. Then he goes, he's got a 8-inch dick. Just joking.
It's like,
but now that goes out there.
So, like, do you think he wakes up today and it's like, what?
No, right, yeah. So I do believe, like, somebody on the Cowboy staff had to go.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know where this video is from. But you might get asked about it. He's going to be like, what are you talking about?
He's got to be like, so think about what's gone on with him. You've got that wacky photo that's out there with the younger girl looking like she's doing something she shouldn't be doing with him. You remember what I'm talking about, okay? He's got the girl who was suing him for paternity tests. Now he's got this. And there have been other things I can't think off the top of my head right now. He's got to be like, every morning he gets up and goes into the office, has to wonder, what other dumb thing did I do that I don't remember?
What am I walking into here?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot going on there, Jerry. I got an email from a concerned listener, Jerry, wanted to get some advice from us on what he should do here.
He's concerned.
Well, it's something going on in his life, he wants it.
Yeah.
So he lives in an apartment complex where no dogs allowed.
Okay.
He said there are dogs in the building. There's a dog that's being very aggressive towards him. And this morning on his way to his car, he stepped in dog poop.
No, that sucks.
He seems to be afraid to go to the apartment complex for fear that it will get back, that he is the guy.
Yep.
What would you do in this
move situation?
I said you got to call.
There are certain battles that to me just aren't worth it. They're just not. Because like even if you do, and I know moving's a pain in the ass, don't get me wrong. And maybe if he owns the apartment, then maybe he can't
move. Doesn't seem like, I don't think so.
If you're renting an apartment though, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And only from the standpoint of, if you're saying several people in this building that is a no dog zone have dogs, first of all, I don't want to be there. And there's no way that all these dogs are going to get removed. So what battle are you going to fight that you're going to win? And it really comes down to how much energy do you want to put forth into what is going to be a losing battle, and then everyone's going to hate you. Like, what's the point? Get the hell out then. Go find a place and do your research. Find a place if you don't want dogs around. Make sure where you move that there's no dogs around.
Yeah. That place I lived in, Mattawan, it was brand new when I moved in. Maybe it was a year old or less.
It was pretty new, though.
It was pretty new.
Yeah.
That was a no dogs allowed building that had dogs.
Well, and what is it if you say that they're not security dogs? What are they called?
Emotional support pets.
Right.
Pets.
Then they're not allowed to ask, right?
Well, you know what? I did ask the building, and they go, you're not allowed to have a dog here. But if we see a dog, we're not allowed to ask. Well, then you don't have a rule.
Then there's no policy.
I also believe, and I've lived in condos a couple different times, lived in apartments. You can have all the rules you want. If it's not a law, you ain't
enforcing.
Matter. You're not enforcing anything.
Correct.
Like, my condo has rules. My condo in Basking Ridge had rules. I used to fight with them all the time because they enforced zero of them.
Yep.
Like, that was a no-dog whole complex. And I used to say to them all the time, I used to say, I'm thinking of getting a dog because you guys will do nothing about it.
I remember this with
they
you.
They go, I go, what will you do if I get a dog? And someone says, hey, this guy's got a, we'll send you a letter. I said, okay, I don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send you another letter. Yeah, I'm still not paying. Like, I even wonder, my condo, what if I decide I'm no longer paying my monthly HOA fee?
I don't know. I don't know legal. See, now that, here's what I would think.
Yeah.
If they wanted to spend the money for an attorney.
Right.
They could get you evicted at that point, or could, I am sure they could do something, but it's going to cost them money, which I'm sure they wouldn't spend.
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like call them guidelines. Don't call them rules.
Right. Here's what we suggest. We suggest you don't have a dog.
We prefer you don't have a dog.
We prefer you don't take up all the parking spaces, but we are not going to do anything about it.
Right. I know. Especially when money starts to become involved.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to start? And I would think big companies that do have deep pockets will do that based on the fact that the tenant or the homeowner or whatever is not going to want to spend the money for a defense attorney or for whatever they need to fight it.
Yeah.
But in what you're in, or a smaller apartment complex to where maybe it's not exactly conglomerates owning it.
Yeah.
You very well might win, and they might not want to be bothered.
Right. This is what I mean. It's so weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Can you even have rules that aren't laws, that are enforceable?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not sure.
It just seems like there's no, you just can't.
Well, even when you go into bankruptcy and you stop paying your mortgage, you could live there for another year or so.
Yeah.
And you just keep negotiating with the bank to try and figure it out. I know your credit gets destroyed, but you still have a house.
Correct.
You know, and once you start paying it again, I don't think they're going to kick you. It's just so weird. Everyone's so afraid. Don't miss a payment. Don't miss a payment. I know my wife's nuts about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, there was what? It was maybe back in, it was about a year ago. It was before Rutgers began. And, you know, on a mortgage, you get that grace period of 2 weeks. So if your mortgage is due on the 1st, even the bill says, needs to be received by the 15th. Okay, 16th after you'll incur a penalty. And I remember my wife's crazy about paying bills on time.
Yeah.
And I remember there was the 1 month last year, it was like the 3rd or the 4th. She goes, why is this still sitting here? I'm like, I didn't pay yet. It's late. I'm like, no, it's not. She goes, it's due the 1st. Today's the 3rd. I'm like, it's fine. I'm like, they ain't kicking us out of our house. Relax. I'll pay it Friday. And this was like on a Tuesday. She went and paid it.
She was nervous. She could be thrown out of her house.
Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah,
we're fine. And it pissed her off. She got mad at me. I'm like, Rez, we're good. Don't worry. You could, don't pay for 3 months. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm on this condo board. So I want to see how things go.
You're
going
to learn. You should really learn the inside of all this stuff.
I should.
Be perfect when you buy your 15-unit condo building and you know how to run things.
Then I'm going to run?
Then you're going to rent out. No longer be waking up at 2:30 in the morning, be running a condo unit. A whole building.
A whole building. Mm. That sounds like a lot of responsibility.
In Manasquan. Building be worth $15 million.
Yeah, and I'd take over.
That's it.
I saw, and I know PNC Bank Art Center knows this for all their concerts, but I saw this when I was trying to watch videos of Bruce Springsteen at the See Here Now Festival. Mm-hmm. On the side of the stage, they have someone signing the concert for people who are deaf who are there. I find that very interesting because I'm trying to figure out whether the person doing the signing at a concert, do they have a teleprompter with the lyrics?
I would think they have to.
Or are they just hearing?
Well, you better know the music then if you're going to base it just on what you're hearing.
That's what I thought. And now, in particular, I saw this during Bruce Springsteen. And I know Bruce Springsteen uses a teleprompter. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got 4,000 songs.
And he has admitted that he uses a teleprompter.
Yeah.
So there is a teleprompter on stage, which would be very easy for this person to use. But I don't know that everyone uses a teleprompter unless the venue, when they have somebody doing signing, requires you to give a set list with what songs you're going
to
do.
I would think so. I would think they have to.
I also thought it was really interesting to watch the person signing when it's not a lyrical part of the song. And it's the...
just the music?
Yeah. They're doing... they're like playing the air instruments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like there's a Bruce Springsteen song that has a lot of keyboard in the beginning with no vocals. And the person who's doing the signing is just like playing the keys. It's pretty
burning
cool.
A lot of calories.
Yeah, and like making the drum when it's like a drum solo, they're doing the drum thing.
That's cool. But how many? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah,
and I've never actually even thought about if you're deaf going to a concert, but also how different life is if you can't hear.
Right.
Whether it's a concert or just conversation, walking around, it's got to be so crazy. Yeah, that's really interesting.
I wonder if you can't hear, if you can feel music, like in a big concert.
Well, you can. Well, let me ask you this: when a souped up car goes by and they got the bass pumped up, do you not feel that? Of course,
yeah.
You absolutely do feel that. So I would think you can feel the beat a little bit. I know you can't hear it, but I would think you can feel the beat, the rumble of the crowd. I would think you would hear. So there's got to be a different feeling to that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's because, like at PNC, I think that's a state owned. Building.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So maybe that's required as part of the thing, or that's just something they do on their own.
As a courtesy.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting.
Or maybe
it's
artist to artist. I don't know. Maybe some artists like that.
Oh, maybe.
You know, I don't know. I've been to the Arts Center not often, but I've been there in the last maybe three times the last 2 years. I don't know that I ever saw that, but I also wasn't looking for it. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you think the person signing is deaf as well or no?
I don't know.
Yeah.
How would they?
Oh, right.
They'd have to be doing it off the prompter then in that case.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't know.
This person definitely wasn't, because like I said, he knew the piano part.
Right. Exactly. And even in Atlantic City last week for that Jordan Davis concert, there could have been someone signing on the other side of the stage.
Yeah.
But if they were, I didn't see it. And I don't know. I don't know that I've ever noticed that before.
I always thought that would be a cool thing to know. Sign language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Anything that a lot of people don't know is powerful and I think interesting.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think. Would I rather know sign language or Spanish?
I would rather know Spanish because I think it would come in... I think I would use it a lot more given life.
Right.
I think it'd be very cool to know sign language for sure. But if you're asking practicality, I think knowing Spanish would be more useful on a daily, day-to-day basis, I think.
And I think some of sign language is signs for words, and others are like they're spelling very quickly.
Okay.
Maybe if there's not a sign for a particular word.
Maybe. I don't know. There was a girl in high school. I forget. Her name was Christina. I forget her last name. And she had either a family member or a friend who I don't believe was born deaf, but something happened and they lost their hearing. And she attacked learning sign language like a passion I've never seen before. And I believe within one school year, I think it was our junior year, one school year, she could sign. Like, I don't know, like if it was Spanish, I don't know how fluid she would have been in it. But she could communicate and every waking minute she got, she was studying it. And she learned it.
There was a bar in Tampa when I lived down there that on certain nights, a lot of people that spoke sign language were there.
Okay.
It was like a night out where they would go. And
that's great.
Everyone was
It's nice to hear because
signing,
you forget about people that have disabilities like that. Like if you're in a wheelchair, you can go to dinner, you can go to a bar. It ain't great, but at least you can do those things. If you're deaf, socializing has got to be incredibly difficult, and your choices, I would think, are very limited. So hearing something like that is very cool.
Yeah. So I'm curious if anyone knows, like, can you feel, I bet you feel the music, like you said, with the bass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever go to a concert where you could feel like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The closer you sit to the stage, I mean, the more you feel it, too. I always told you one of the best and worst concerts I've ever attended was when we went to see Lynyrd Skynyrd back in 1992 or 93, I forget the year, at the Mann Music Center in Pennsylvania. And Kim and I sat first row right by the speakers. So we walked in. I knew it was first row tickets. I was very excited. And we sat down. Even she was like, this is amazing. And then as soon as the music started, she's like, oh, my God. It was. And you just felt it through your body.
Yeah.
It was so loud. It was awesome. But, boy, was it loud. That was rough. Fun and rough at the same time.
Have your ears ringing for months.
Oh, my gosh. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
I was hearing that smell for, you know.
Ooh, that smell.
Yeah. So one of my favorite songs.
That's a great song.
Very underrated. Not a lot of people know it, but what a great song.
That was the first album I bought, Street Survivors.
Okay.
And I bought it randomly. I saw kids in like seventh grade wearing Lynyrd Skynyrd shirts. And then I went to either Corvettes or Two Guys was the name of the store. And they had an album section. And I just bought a random Lynyrd Skynyrd album.
No kidding.
And it was the one, Street Survivors, that had that smell.
How about that?
What's your name, little girl? What's your name? Yep. Do you know the opening lyrics to that smell?
I'd have to go through the... whiskey bottle, brand new cars, oak tree, you're in my way.
Oh, yeah. Great line.
Yep. It takes me a minute to get to it, but yes, I do know.
Whiskey bottle, brand new car, oak tree, you're in my way.
Too much smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. It's a very good song.
Yeah, indeed, Jerry.
One of the bands that is that was really good, I guess, in the 70s that I feel like I never heard of until the 90s was Bad Company. It was like, I don't know why, it just... They got lost in the shuffle for all the music I learned about growing up. And it was one day, and it was the song Bad Company that I didn't know. I never knew who sang the song. And I remember my friend Mike was like, it's Bad Company. I'm like, I know. Who sings it? Bad Company. And it took me a minute to grasp it. And then I got the cassette. I'm like, I know these songs. Like, how did I not know who they were?
Yeah, like right now I can't name another Bad Company song. But yeah, if you rattled them off to me, I bet I would know them.
You would. You absolutely would because, yes, they have the one album, and I don't know what the album is.
Yeah.
That.
It's not often that a group has a song, the name of their group, like Bad Company has Bad Company.
Rock and Roll Fantasy.
Oh, yep. Know that one.
Feel Like Making Love. I mean, Shooting Star.
That's a good one.
I mean, right. So, Ready for Love, Can't Get Enough. You know all these songs.
Are you ready for love?
Right. It's a great band. I remember getting, maybe it was a greatest hits. I don't remember, but I remember getting the cassette that my friend gave me. I'm like, I know like all these songs, but I never knew who they were. It was almost like just no publicity or notoriety.
Where they got so lost strange. In the like Foreigner, Journey, Boston, all those bands.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, I just gave you... Let's see. I gave you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs. Oh, Simple Man.
They did Simple Man the same Lynyrd Skynyrd song, or maybe their own.
Oh, you know what? No, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Simple Man, Lynyrd.
Maybe that's Lynyrd what I'm thinking Skynyrd. Of. Okay, my bad on that.
There was another group. Do you remember in the 70s there was a group called Bachman Turner Overdrive?
Yeah, BTO.
BTO.
Yeah.
Other than You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, do you think you know some of their songs?
Yes, I do.
But probably less than Bad Company.
I think Bad Company for me was 9. So I'm going to, let's see what comes up here. All right. Yeah, all right. So Taking Care of Business.
Oh, of
that's
course.
2. Rolling Down the Highway. That's 3.
That's a good one.
Let It Ride.
Let It Ride, you might know
I would
that.
Know that.
Yeah.
That would be 4. I'm looking at these songs. I don't know that I know much else. No.
When I first heard You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet on the radio, I thought it was Tom Petty.
Okay.
It's got a similar vibe.
Interesting.
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Baby,
you just ain't seen nothing yet.
Yep.
I think of how much more musical taste that were from the radio. The radio played it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because the radio implemented it in your brain by playing it over and over and over again.
And I really think I got a love of classic rock because Howard Stern was on K-Rock.
I would agree with
and
that.
It was Howard Stern all morning, classic rock all day.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I listened to that music because I liked Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
And then learn the music that way.
Yeah. I even think, as crazy as it sounds... When I started listening to this station, I started learning more about music because of all the rejoin music that they used to play.
Yeah.
There were songs that I never heard of before. Like, for instance, I was never a Rolling Stones fan. One of the more popular rejoin songs we used to use was the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. I searched that song out because they used to play it so much. I didn't know what it was. It was my uncle that told me what it was. And then I went and got, I think I got the single or whatever the hell I had. I'm like, every time I heard it, I was thinking of the radio station. But that opened me up to different songs that I wasn't very familiar with.
Yeah.
The one that, which I've always thought was funny, was the Rolling Stones, the song Bitch, which anytime I would play that, Joe would always... He would always say, and the anthem to my first marriage takes us to the break. The Rolling Stones, Bitch, coming back on the Fan. I'd be like, I don't know what this song is, but I went and got it because of Joe.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, whatever you listen to influences what you go out and seek and search and,
yeah.
and then hear.
I remember I was like so into Bruce Springsteen, and if he would do a song that wasn't his, I'd be like, what is this? Then I would go get like a Creedence Clearwater album.
Yep.
Based on that, or an oldies, something from the 50s.
I was blown away when I found out when I was, I don't know, 17, 18 years old, that John Fogerty was the singer of Creedence Clearwater. I never put two and two together. I knew CCR from my parents, so I knew so much of the music. I knew John Fogerty as a guy on my own.
Center field.
Yeah. When I was like, what? Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
Now everyone gets it on, finds their music on social media, I think. Like with reels that have music behind it.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I have really found any new music anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not easy.
It's just...
Not easy.
There's not much. I mean, I do, as I've told you, I do listen to 106.3 in Jersey because it comes in really good. 107.1, they've gotten away from the classic rock. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like a mix of classic rock and pop. It's mm-hmm. I don't know. So I find myself on it and leaving a lot. And I do listen to 92.3 HD2, but I don't, there's no jocks. There's something weird about no jocks. It doesn't feel real.
I don't know. And they can't tell you the songs if you don't happen to be staring
at
the screen.
You have to stare at your screen to find out what it is. And sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
There's something about live radio that still, even in 2024, still means something, I think.
Yeah, especially like I listen to the Jersey Shore stations. I want to hear what's going on in my communities.
Well, that's the local part of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I know my mom thought I was nuts, but then she actually kind of liked it. When they came over for Labor Day weekend, I was listening to KROQ on the stream on the Odyssey. And then I switched it when they came over to, I forget what station it was, but it was like the 102.7 version of here out in LA. And every commercial break, my mom's like, why are they talking about Santa Monica and the beautiful temperatures? I'm like, well, because this is a station out of Los Angeles. Why? I'm like, because I think it's neat. I just think it's cool hearing about a different area the same way you like to hear about your area.
Right.
So I think that's the cool thing about streaming.
Yeah. That is true. I don't ever do that. I should because I like to pick a random country station in South Carolina.
I'm telling you, it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun to do.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. That was really fun to do. We'll be here tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. So.